Growing the Game with Ballsy is a podcast dedicated to growing the game of football in Saskatchewan. Each week, Michael Ball will talk with Rider guests, but he'll also highlight amateur athletes, coaches, and builders in this province growing the game we love. Now, here's Ballsy.
Growing the Game with Ballsy, brought to you by Pizza Huts in Saskatchewan, by Riviere Ag Seeds in Radville, also by Boys Next Door Window Cleaning, Mark Greshner Photography, SAS Selects Football out there at the R Center in Moose Jaw, Paul Waldo over at Royal LePage in Regina. Time now to take a trip down memory lane with our Where Are They Now segment, brought to you by Double Z Ag Sales in Weyburn and Corey Zadorozniak for grain hauling, grain marketing, and crop insurance. Give Corey a call out there in the Weyburn area with Double Z Ag Sales, a big supporter of football in this province. All right, joining me on the phone is former Regina Ram and CFLer Chris Bauman. How are you today, Chris?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
You were on the course. How did the round go?
Well, front nine was a little rocky, but back nine was a little better.
Has that always been a passion of yours, golf?
Yeah, it has. I've been playing ever since I was a little kid. It was my escape during football season, so it was always nice to get out to the course.
Yeah, stress reliever. What do you like? What do you like best about golf? Because it can be a real stressful game, Chris.
It can. I think it's because you can't blame anyone else but yourself.
That's a good way to look at it. How much pressure did you put on yourself, coming up through the ranks?
Actually, not too much. It was just always fun playing, so I didn't put any pressure, honestly, until probably CFL. Other than that, I didn't really pressure myself too much.
So you come from Brandon. How does a guy from Brandon make it to Regina to play for the Rams?
Frank and Bernie. They were relentless in recruiting me. I think U of M had a good shot, and I was really set on going there. And then Dobie kind of stopped talking to me, and Frank and Bernie really stepped up and brought me out and really sold me on the program.
What'd you like about Regina and the Regina Rams and just being in that offense with Bernie Schmidt, who's forgot more about offense than most guys know?
No kidding. If you want to be a receiver, you want to catch footballs, you want to put up yards, it's the best program to be in. So that was kind of what sold me on it.
Yeah, and what about Rick Seaman? He's the guy we always talk about. You know, we talk about the coaching tree and this kind of tree. At Receiver U, as we used to call it in Regina, Rick Seaman was the guy to help you hone your craft.
He was, especially your first couple of years. He was very technical, and he really worked on fundamentals every day. And I think as your years went on, he kind of moved on to the younger guys, but he set that foundation definitely from day one.
What kind of dog you got there?
It's a Buddies. I'm not even sure what it is. I think it's a cross.
Having a couple of wobblies at a Buddy's house after golf. I love it. Chris Bauman in our Where Are They Now segment, former Regina Ram. First overall pick by the Hamilton Tiger Cats in 2007. What was that like?
It was a whirlwind day. They flew me out that morning. I went all the way downtown to the CFL headquarters, and this was before all the draft shows and everything. So it was fun. It was a busy day, and it's something I'll never forget.
Did you anticipate going number one? Did you have a clue that you were going to go number one?
Not at all. I thought I was going number two or three. I heard that Edmonton was going to take Warren Keane, the kicker. And they end up doing that. And I thought I was going to number three to Calgary. I hadn't even talked to Hamilton, so it was kind of a surprise.
So just your thoughts on being the number one pick. How much pressure comes with that, going into – it's not like the NFL, obviously, but when a team spends a number one on you, a first overall, they expect big things.
Yeah, for sure. It was a lot of pressure, something I don't think a lot of people realize. It would have been nice kind of being an undrafted even or lower round where there's not too many expectations, you can go and learn. But I think the biggest thing was it was a big regime change in Hamilton, and there's a lot of pressure on everybody. And they got rid of all their veteran receivers, so there wasn't much to learn from. Mm-hmm. It was kind of just learn as you go, and being a rookie, that's kind of not what you want. But it worked out, everything. I enjoyed all my time, and I have no regrets.
Were you happy? Yeah, so that was my next question. Were you pretty satisfied with your CFL career, all in all?
Yeah, I mean, who gets to play a game for a living, right? So at the end of the day, I'm happy with everything. Yeah, I wish some things would have went different, but I look back on it with fond memories.
You got a great cup ring, if I'm not mistaken, right?
I do, yeah, with Calgary in 14.
Yeah, at the end of your career. So at least a lot of guys play this game, Chris Bauman, and they don't get a great cup ring. What's more important to you, the ring or the fact your name goes on a trophy? I've asked a lot of guys this.
Ring. Who carries around the trophy all the time? I got that ring in my basement, so yeah. It'll always be with me. And obviously, it'd be nice to be on the trophy, but that ring's a beautiful thing to have.
Now, you're a Canadian, a proud Canadian. You were the first overall pick with Hamilton at a skilled position. That seems to be going away now in the CFL. I feel like the dream is dying for a lot of Canadian football players in certain positions. Do you feel that way?
I think so. I mean, I think a lot of the skilled positions are going down south now. There's a lot more opportunity for them. But I think the safest bet for most CFL teams in the first couple of rounds is linemen. The longevity, and I think it's a spot where you can plug them in right away. Skilled is a little different, so I think that's kind of what they're leaning to. Just safer pick.
Yeah. Did U Sports or CIS when you played, were you ready to jump in and play right away, or would you have liked to, like you said, have a couple of years to learn from somebody and then come in?
I don't think I was ready physically. I wasn't a big gym rat, so it took me my first year to really learn. Like, these guys are way bigger and stronger, and that's something I worked on in my first off season. But there's aspects of it where I jumped right in, but they kind of hit me out at the wide out, the wide side wide out, where you don't get much action out there, so it's, you can kind of hide out there for a little bit, but. Once you get moved into the slot, it's a different game.
Yeah, did you find, because I talked to Dan Farthing, back when he was a first overall pick with the Rough Riders, came in here, he had some veterans that he was behind, like a Farrell and an Elgart, so he didn't have to jump in right away. But he talked about how he'd make a move at the U Sports level, he'd be wide open, he'd come into practice, he'd be making moves against Pac-12 guys, and he's not open anymore. He's like, this is a different ball game. Did you find that?
100%. Like, there's I can't even remember all the names, but we had some DBs that were played at Florida State, were first, second round picks in the NFL. Like, it's those guys, their makeup speed is on a different level. So you beat them, but they'd be right there. So you had to learn how to catch in traffic, and you didn't have that separation that you had in university. It was a totally different game that way.
You have a favorite CFL game in your memory banks that you played? Was there one that's, you can go back, if you could go back and be in that moment again, is there one game or one play, Chris Bauman?
Might have been my last playoff game in Hamilton. It was a tight game. I think we took it overtime. I think I had maybe 100 yards. Mm-hmm. It was just a big game. It was an important game. Made some big catches, and I think that's what really stands out for me.
Chris, what are you doing now?
I am working in corrections at the PCC here in Regina.
Okay, so how does what you learn on the football field transfer over to life? Because we always talk about the game of football building good men for the community.
I think is a teamwork, respecting people. In the corrections, it's a lot of times you have to rely on the people around you. So if you don't have that teamwork and that mentality, it can be a pretty dicey situation sometimes for you.
Chris, you were the first overall pick. I wanted to go back to this for a second. I feel this league needs to promote. We need to promote our own. We're trying to go global, which I don't necessarily agree with. I think we should just focus on our own backyard. But the initiative to think bigger, I like that idea. I think we should do a better job of promoting our first round. Now, I know there's a bit of a challenge in the sense that some guys that go in the first round aren't there because they're waiting to see what they're going to do in the NFL. But I think we should make it a bigger deal, a first round of the draft or the first couple of rounds, like maybe in a casino Regina, broadcast it on TSN. I know they did it virtually this year, and they had a pretty good job on the TSN panel. I thought they did a great job covering it. But I think the CFL could put more of an effort in. How about you?
I agree. I think it's come a long way since since I was taken, I don't think there was really anything going on.
Yeah.
But I think it is slowly getting there, and I think they should make a better emphasis on that. Like, these guys, these Canadians that are growing up, like, it's their dream to be there, so why not give them that same opportunity? It's not going to be on the same level as NFL. That's just the way it is, but I think you can give them a day or two and really showcase the talent we have in Canada now, because I think it's really grown, and it's just going to get better and better.
Are you still helping out in the football world? I know when my son was doing those off-season camps with the Thunder, you were out there. Are you still, I know it's different with COVID, but in a perfect world, are you still helping out in the football world and giving back to the game?
I gave it a shot last year. I knew I wanted to give coaching a shot. I didn't realize how much time it actually took. Like, it is exhausting. It is, I get my... I'm so grateful to all the coaches in my life that put countless hours into away from their families. Like, it is a lot of work. I'm glad I gave it a shot, but right now it's just not for me.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, eh? Like, a guy like a Scott McCauley or an Andrew Rumba or even Frank and Bernie in all those years, what they gave up with their families, like Wendy and Patty, what they, you know, they held down the home fort while these guys could be at the field helping these other quote-unquote sons develop their football skills.
Yeah, it's amazing what they do, and I have nothing but respect for them. And hopefully somewhere down the line, maybe if I have kids or something, I'll step into that role, but right now, golf's summers are for golf. I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is.
Hey, I love it. Hey, lastly, though, young kids, aspiring kids to, want to be the next Chris Bowman, want to have a chance. Do you have any advice for a young football player that's working through a COVID situation, but, you know, on the other side as they try to pursue their dreams?
You're going to take a ton of dedication. You're going to have to be in the gym all the time. You're going to have to dedicate yourself to your craft. Always working on different things here and there, but you got to have a love for it. If you don't love the game, you don't love the sport, it's going to be a chore to you, and it's not going to work out. So you got to love what you're doing and put everything you have into it.
Well, I love this conversation, and I always love my time with you and watching you play, man. Thanks. Enjoy the golf course.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, joining me now in Growing the Game with Ballsy's Dennis Gore, all the way from Buffalo, New York. Now, you'll say to yourself, why the heck are you calling a guy in Buffalo, New York? Because he is a super-duper CFL fan, a super-duper Rider fan. Dennis, how are you?
I'm doing great, Ballsy. How are you?
Doing well, man. So are you as depressed as I am that we don't have CFL football, and especially this weekend? This is a special weekend with the Labor Day Classic.
Yeah. Absolutely, because I always got psyched for the Labor Day Classics. And after the end of last season, I mean, we had one more play, but the field goal uprights blocked the ball, and I was just so ready to get going for next year after the season we had last year. So it's tearing my guts apart.
Yeah. So you're in Buffalo, New York, Dennis. We have talked before, but for people that are new to this podcast and new to hearing you, how did you become a Rough Rider fan in Buffalo, New York?
Well, okay. Well, the key is I'm from Buffalo, New York, and I'm now 55 years old. So back in the dark ages in the 1970s, there was no cable, no satellite, but we had a rooftop antennas, and we could spin those antennas with a dial facing north by northwest, kind of, and we would pick up three more Canadian channels. So I had exposure to the CFL along with Hockey Night in Canada, the curling, the five-pin bowling, and so forth. So I got exposed to the CFL that way. And in 1976, when I was 11 years old, my parents had the great idea to take us to a place called Elm Lodge, somewhere near Peterborough, Ontario, for this fishing trip, which was, God, the worst fishing trip I ever went on in my entire life. I did not have the interest in fishing at all. And at the same time, the Montreal Olympics were going on, so I wanted to watch the Montreal Olympics. So during this vacation, I'm going through the TV that they had there, and I stumble across the beginning of a Saskatchewan-Montreal game, and the Riders had these nice, beautiful, crisp, bright green uniforms with that old classic logo on the top that looked pretty cool. And Montreal had these ugly, putrid, I couldn't even discern what the heck that logo was. So that was the first CFL game that I watched from beginning to end. Now, I don't even think our Riders won that game, but I just like the uniforms. I like the name Saskatchewan Rough Riders. That sounded kind of cool. So at that point in time, I took an interest in them. Then if you fast forward to 1980, when I was in high school, I met my best friend Don, who is a major sports fan of any sport. If it's a sport, he loves it. And by luck, he paid light attention to the CFL and also happened to like Saskatchewan. So now I became a little bit more engaged. Now, if you fast forward to 1982, The NFL had its first strike and only had that 9-game season. I was so infuriated with that strike that I just kind of went all in with the Riders from that point on. And I've really grown to really love that style of football. I love the three downs.
Yeah,
I love the longer field.
Yeah. What do you like best about it? Like, do you just like the speed of the game, the way that even if there's 2 minutes, like in an NFL game, if there are 2 minutes left to go in the game's pretty well over if you don't have three timeouts. But in the CFL, you could score three touchdowns at 2 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. It is the speed, and they seem to score more points. There seem to be a lot more action. And again, back in an era, like if you go like 70s, 80s for NFL football, it was like 90% handoffs. The next play is a handoff, whereas the CFL, it was just all-out passing 90% of the time. If you don't do anything on first down, you're second and 10, you got to move the ball. And I also loved the ruse, maybe the only one on the planet, but I love the one-point rule because it keeps you honest. I just like the fact that the clock will stop within the last 3 minutes after every play until everything's set. You know, that way you can't just take a knee, because if you do, you'll stop the clock. In the NFL, you can waste 40 seconds taking a knee, which I think cheapens the game. So, and I like that you can play everybody. So it's a smaller league, 9 teams. Sometimes it was 8, but
yeah,
everybody got to play everybody. So when you crowned a champion, you played everybody.
So, Dennis, how often do you get to watch your beloved Rough Riders in person? I know you were here for the 2013 Grey Cup. Have you been here since we had the new stadium?
I want to go and see the new stadium. I haven't gone since then. 2013 was a little bit of luck being able to go there because I wanted to thank Colleen Sutton, who was the Rider girl, who actually helped arrange most of that trip in 2013. I did have one other previous trip back in 1996 with me and my best friend Don, who I mentioned earlier. We were respectively eventually engaged to our eventual wives at the time, so this was our last chance to go see a home game. But yeah, I would love to come back, and I would love to come back on a Labor Day weekend, and I would love to see the new stadium. That would rock my world. But usually I just go twice a year in Hamilton and in Toronto.
Well, you have a friend that you're talking to right now that if you give me enough headway, I could probably work something out for you so you could get down here. So we'll have to work on that for sure.
That would be great.
How are you feeling about your league and the fact we didn't play this year? Are you concerned there might not be a CFL on the other side of this thing?
It's tearing my guts out because, like I said, after that last play that hit the upright on the throw, and like I'm just so ready to get going again that it will just break my heart if there isn't another CFL, because I didn't like that XFL. I didn't like that, what was that, Allied Football League or whatever
that
called?
AAF,
whatever that. I hated that. I hated the old World League of American Football. But the CFL, because of its style and the bigger field and the rules, and no fair catches. I hate fair catch. I know people complain about the no yards, but oh my God, it's just that I would hate it if I don't see CFL football, because it's the best.
So what does Dennis Gore in Buffalo, New York, what does he think will fix the CFL? What should they do to fix the CFL?
Play the games. They should have picked a bubble city and just play the whole thing. I don't know.
But I mean, do you agree with $700,000 quarterbacks? Do you agree, like, something's broken with our league? I don't know that we should be paying all these guys this money. I've proposed we put more Canadians in the Canadian Football League. I don't know if, you know, I don't know if that doesn't obviously mean much to an American, but I think I think Canadians in the Canadian Football League mean Canadians will play Canadian football for Canadian money, and you know what? They'll have a dream that they can play in Canada professional football, which I think is cool, which I think really appeals to United States kids. Doesn't matter whether you're in Buffalo, New York, or Cleveland, or San Diego, you have the perception that you can play in the NFL. I know it's apples and oranges, but the dream is dying for a lot of Canadian guys. So I think that's one way to look at it. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good opinion because, like, with me, I'm kind of nationalistic too. So had I been from Canada, I think I would feel the exact same way. I want to see Canadians.
Yeah.
Knowing the way I feel about, you know, like, I'm American, so if America's in an international sporting event, I'm always rooting for them, whatever the heck the sport is. So, yeah, I think that would be cool if and they see some Canadian quarterbacks.
Well, that'd be nice. That'd be nice to have one of those for sure coming from an American guy. That's hilarious. So yeah. who is your favorite Rough Rider right now, Dennis?
Oh, I like Fajardo, and I also like Rhett Lyler, but we lost him, I think. So,
well, he opted out, but he doesn't have a job. Dakota Shepley's gone now for the 49ers, so that's good. So are you going to watch the NFL with no CFL?
Reluctantly, only because Buffalo does appear to have a good team this year, which could potentially go to the AFC Championship game. So, yeah, but it's just not CFL football. I was more engaged with the Bills when they had their 4-year Super Bowl run.
Right.
I kind of paid more attention to it back then. And yes, I still blame Scott Norwood for missing. But
wide right.
What are you going
to
do?
Hey, do you go to the games in Rich Stadium? Like, what I'm getting at here is, how do you compare the excitement of a live NFL game versus the excitement of a live CFL game?
Well, with the NFL, you have much bigger stadiums with a trillion people, so they're into it. And Buffalo is kind of like, if you ask a lot of the Bills players, we have sort of like a college football atmosphere, but it's a pro team. So there is a lot more noise, probably because there's a lot more people. So, and the NFL games that I go to because my younger brother takes me for free, because back in the days when I used to have season tickets for the Buffalo Sabres, I took him to free games, so that's how I go to free Bills games.
Yeah, no kidding. You know? Hey, Dennis, I really appreciate you taking time, and it's great to talk to you again, my friend, and I hope that we can work something out where you can come to the stadium one day.
That'd be great. Just let me know, and for the people of Regina, you are the best. You made me feel so welcome back at Grey Cup 101 in 2013. I brought back a lot of wonderful memories. And you guys are the best.
This has been Growing the Game with Ballsy. If you have a football story you'd like to share to help us grow the game, email Michael Ball at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com. Ballsy can be heard weekdays in Regina on 104.9 The Wolf Morning Show and during Saskatchewan Roughriders and U of R Rams broadcasts on 620 CKRM.